Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. It's always interesting to me the things that happen in a church service before, during, and sometimes even after. Becky mentioned the struggles she'd had with her voice and her throat, and she didn't know if she could sing that song. I hardly ever say anything to you guys, but I've this morning, man, I've had some physical things, and I was just, before she came up to sing, I thought, you know, if I can get through this sermon, it may be a miracle. Well, if I can do this sermon as good as she did that song, I think we'll be all right. There are struggles, battles to be fought in the life of every Christian. I think we need to acknowledge that. I'm afraid that sometimes we try to convince people that, boy, you know, if you just get saved, all your problems will go away. That's not true. But the Christian life should be one of victory. And I'm afraid we're not very good sometimes at being victorious. That being living a life of victory doesn't mean that you won't have any problems. It means that you have victory over your problems. You may still have the problem, but you have victory over it. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In Romans 8:37, the Bible says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible not only promises victory, it tells us how to achieve victory, how to overcome the strongholds in our lives. And I want to talk about that today. I want to read 2 Samuel chapter 5, we're going to read the first 10 verses. "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking, David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." When we get to this chapter of 2 Samuel, Saul had passed away, and after after his death, the nation of Israel was divided. And David reigned as king over Judah, and Ishbosheth, who was the son of Saul, reigned over the rest of the nation of Israel. But by the time we get here, Ishbosheth, well, that's hard to say, Ishi had died, and so all of Israel had come to David and anointed him as king over all of the nation of Israel. It was a united nation. But there was a problem in Israel. When the Israelites inhabited the promised land, when they went into the promised land, they, you know, God told them to destroy all the inhabitants of the land, but they disobeyed God. By the way, I want to tell you this. Just this week, matter of fact, after I finished this sermon, I read just a very little brief part of an article that I saw. And the reason I read it was the title said, "Recent Discovery Disproves Bible." And, you know, that caught my attention. So it started out by quoting a scripture out of Deuteronomy where it said that God had told Israel to completely destroy the Canaanites. And they said, we've done a study And we found out that I believe it was the Lebanese people, like 80% of the Lebanese people are descended from Canaanite people. So they said, obviously, the Bible is wrong. I thought, well, if they'd have read just a little bit further, they would have found where the people of Israel disobeyed God and did not completely destroy the Canaanites. Here we have proof of that. Joshua chapter 15, verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, the Jebusites were Canaanites. The children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. So part of the Canaanites that the children of Israel did not drive out were the Jebusites. They lived in Jerusalem, so that in Jerusalem was a place of sinfulness. In the midst of the nation of Israel, it was a stronghold. The Bible calls it a stronghold. It was a stronghold of sin. it needed to be overcome. Somebody needed to do something about it. In our lives today, in the life of every Christian, sooner or later, in the life of every Christian, you're going to come across a stronghold. Now, it might be a stronghold of fear. A lot of times it is. For Christians, it's a stronghold of fear. We're afraid of something. We're afraid to do what God wants us to do. We're afraid to witness. We're afraid to sing. We're afraid to pray. We're afraid whatever it is. We're afraid. It's a stronghold of fear that has to be overcome if we're going to serve the Lord. Sometimes it's a stronghold of failure because we failed in the past, and we think because we failed in the past, we can't do it, or we're disqualified maybe from service. It can be a stronghold of disobedience to God. It can be a stronghold of temptation. It can be a stronghold of money, where we value our money and our possessions more than we value God. It can even be a stronghold of people, where we value certain people more than we value God. But all of us have them several times throughout our Christian lives. We have these strongholds that must be overcome, and sometimes it just seems impossible. It seems like whatever it is just impenetrable. It just can't be overthrown. That's exactly what they thought about Jerusalem. It can't be overthrown. That's what they told David. You can't overthrow Jerusalem. I want you to look at verse 7. Nevertheless, in spite of what everybody said, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. We are conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. We have been given the victory. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we can overcome our strongholds, and we can do it the same way David overcame Jerusalem. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. First of all, David chose whom to hear. I want you to look at verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, the Jebusites, spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Jerusalem was built on a hill. As a matter of fact, it was built on a series of seven hills, so that naturally there's a valley around the city of Jerusalem. It was surrounded by a wall. It was a natural defense with the hill and the valley, and then they built the wall so that people inside Jerusalem could stand on the walls surrounding Jerusalem. And they could throw rocks, they could shoot arrows, they could cast spears, whatever they had at those people who are trying to climb the hill and then scale the wall to attack the city. It was virtually impenetrable. And so the Jebusites told David, said, listen, even the blind and the lame, that's what they meant by talking about the blind and the lame. They said, even the blind and the lame can defend this city against you, David. You don't stand a chance. David simply chose not to listen to them. He decided instead to listen to God, because God had said, I want you to go take that city. I want those people. They've been as part of the judgment for their sinfulness, their wickedness. They've been condemned to death. And you didn't do it before. The Israelites didn't do it before. I want you to do it now. David chose to listen to God. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying this morning. He chose. It was his choice who to listen to and who to turn a deaf ear to. And it's our choice today. There are plenty of voices out there in the world telling us things, talking to us. There's that article about the failure, the disproving of the Bible. You know, you can read that and you can decide to listen to that. Or instead, you can listen to the voice of God and see what He has to say. We can listen to the voice of the philosophers. You know what they say? Listen, they say, oh man, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. Just be a good person. Some of them will tell you, just don't be a particularly bad person. Get enough education. Make enough money. Achieve enough status in society. Gain enough power politically, whatever. But just work hard and do those things and you'll go to heaven. That's the voice of philosophy. We can listen to that. Or we can listen to the voice of God in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can listen to the voice of science that says, you know, this earth was created by the Big Bang. Don't you love that? All these particles, don't have any idea where the particles came from, but all these particles out there in space, all of a sudden one day they all collided and there was this huge explosion and it formed the earth. And man evolved from the apes. And if you don't like that, man evolved from the fish. We're not sure which one it is, but one or the other, man evolved from either the apes or the fish. Or we can listen to the voice of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can I ask you a question? Honestly, now take religion out of it. Wouldn't you rather have been created by God than evolved from a fish or an ape? We can listen to the voice of the scoffers, the doubters that say, oh, listen, God won't forgive your sin. You're too bad. Or we can listen to the voice of God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can listen to the voice of Satan himself, who says, listen, God may be real, Christianity may be real, Jesus may be the only way to get to heaven, but you can't live the Christian life. It's too hard. You can't do it. There's no sense in even making the effort. Much easier to follow me. Or we can listen to the voice of God in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We will not stand before the philosophers or the scientists or the scoffers or even Satan himself in judgment. But we will stand before God Almighty. It only seems to make sense to listen to Him. But it's our choice. We choose to whom we listen. David also chose what he saw. He could have looked at Jerusalem and he could have seen the hill that it was built on. He could have seen the natural defense of the city. He could have seen the walls that were fortified. He could have seen the soldiers or just the blind and the lame standing on the wall prepared to do battle. He could have seen all that and he could have just given up. Oh yeah, it's impenetrable. I can't do it. That's what we do a lot of times. But instead, David chose to see God. And he saw that God was bigger than Jerusalem, bigger than the wall, bigger than the hill, bigger than the valley, bigger than the problem. That wasn't new to David. You remember there was another time in the life of David before this when he faced a giant. His name was Goliath. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a coat of mail, which is like an inner skin underneath his armor, his outer armor. That coat of mail, the Bible says, that coat of mail weighed 156 pounds. Can you imagine the power of a man who can not only move around with that kind of weight on him, but be a warrior and battle with that kind of weight on him? The entire army of Israel saw Goliath and they were petrified. They were paralyzed with fear. They saw Goliath. I mean, how could you miss him? David saw God. and David slew Goliath. David saw God, and David overcame Jerusalem. He chose what he saw. Now listen, Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that we need to look unto Jesus. We need to look at Jesus. We need to focus. We need to see Jesus. Now, I know when I say that, that sounds funny to say that we're going to see Jesus. But you understand, and I'm not talking about physical eyes. I'm talking about spiritual eyes. We have a tendency to not do that. When I say we, I include myself in that. We have a tendency to focus on the problem. We have a tendency to focus on the diagnosis. When it's not good, we focus on that. We have a tendency to focus on the layoff, on the economy, on the job loss. We have a tendency to focus on the betrayal, the turmoil, the sorrow, the pain, whatever it is. We have a tendency to focus on that, and pretty soon that becomes a stronghold, and pretty soon it's impenetrable, and we think there's nothing we can do about it. What we need to do is focus on God. He is bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your pain. He's bigger than the betrayal. He's bigger than the layoff, the economy. You pick it, whatever it is, God is bigger than whatever that is. So we need to focus on Him, and when we focus on God, the stronghold has to fall. It doesn't have any choice. God is greater. Now, I want to repeat this. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, if you're here this morning and you've got a physical illness, I'm not saying, boy, if you'll just look at Jesus, you'll be healed. I'm saying you'll get victory. You may still be sick, but the sickness does not have to dominate you. You can still have victory over the disease. You can still have victory over the problem. You can still have victory over the pain. It may still be with you, but you can have victory over it because God is greater. We choose what we listen to. We turn the radio on. We turn the TV on. We listen to the voices, the people, the philosophies, the ideas. We listen to the ones that we want to hear. What we need to do is choose to listen to Jesus. We choose what we see. We choose what we see physically, don't we? I mean, you look in a direction and you see something. If you don't like it, you either keep looking or you turn your head. We make that choice. We choose what we see spiritually. We choose our attitudes. We choose these things, and what we need to do is choose to see Jesus. Amen. David chose to listen to God. David chose to see God. And the city of Jerusalem fell at the hands of David, and it became the city of David. The most mentioned city in all of the Bible is Jerusalem, the city of David. Finally, David chose whom to follow. I want you to listen again to Joshua 15:63. I've already read it, but I want you to listen closely to what this verse says. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. David could have chosen to follow the footsteps of his ancestors. They had failed. They had not conquered the Jebusites. They had not conquered the city of Jerusalem. He could have chose to follow them. That would be easy, wouldn't it? Nobody else has done it before. My ancestors couldn't do it. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, however many generations it was, none of them could do it. Why, the entire nation of Israel couldn't do this. I don't know why God thinks I can. He could have chosen. But it's the last part of that verse that really got my attention. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. When this was written, the Jebusites were still living in Jerusalem. That means that David's peers had not conquered Jerusalem. He could have chosen to follow his peers. Peer pressure is, man, strong, isn't it? I mean, for adults, it's strong. For our young people in school, it's strong. For adults, peer pressure is strong for everybody. Until the day you die, peer pressure is a powerful force. Whether it's from the past or whether it's with the present, peer pressure is strong. We want to fit in. I used to get well, I'm not even sure what the word is. I don't want to say tickled because it's not really funny, but I used to think that it was ironic that young people would say, "Boy, I want to be different. I want to stand out. I want, you know, I'm going to let my hair grow or cut it short or whatever is contrary to the style. That's what I want to be." But the truth is, they all just wanted to fit in. They did things just like everybody else did. As adults, we look at them and worship, and we tell our children, "Well, now, do you want to be like everybody else, or do you want?" And we do the same thing as adults. We just want, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to stick out. We want to be accepted by everybody. We want everybody to like us. We want to get along. We just want to kind of fit in and follow the crowd. But the truth is, the crowd's going to lead you to hell. That's what the Bible says about the broad way, the broad path. That's the crowd that goes. And it leads to destruction. But God calls us to follow Him. His way is narrow. Listen, there's not a lot of people on that path. We're different. The Bible calls Christians peculiar people. We stand out. We're beginning to stand out more and more in our society today. But God calls us to follow Him. And if we follow God, He gives us a life of joy and peace and victory. And if we follow God, He'll lead us to heaven. Amen. That's the narrow path. That's the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. That's what the Bible says. But listen, we choose. We want to blame it on somebody else, don't we? "Well, it's not my fault. I can't help it. I'm just bombarded with all these voices from the world, and that's all I can hear." No, it's not. The voice of God is just as powerful. The voice of God is more powerful. It's stronger. It's eternal. We have to choose to listen to it. Last Sunday, Elijah in the cave. There's a lot of stuff going on, but the still small voice is what he chose to hear. We choose what we see. We choose who we follow. It's been several months ago. There had been somebody that I'd been trying to get to come to church for quite a while, years. And I can't remember, 6 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, might have been a year ago, I lose track of time. He came. And on that particular Sunday, it was one of those Sunday mornings where I got a little wound up and I got a little bit loud, louder than I normally get. And I remember saying very forcefully, very loudly, I said, if you go to hell, it's your fault. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I immediately thought of him. I may have even looked at him. I don't remember. But I immediately thought of him and I thought, "Oh, I think I messed up. He hasn't been back since." But I didn't mess up. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for your sin and mine. He arose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and me. He gave us His inspired word, a path, a way to live our lives. He loves us. He offers us grace and mercy. He has done everything necessary for you and me to go to heaven. And if you go to hell, it's your fault. Because it's our choice. We choose what we hear. We choose what we see. And we choose who we follow. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a minute. We're going to have a song of invitation. As a matter of fact, I'd like to sing that "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." Christian, I want you to listen to me for just a minute. I promise I'm not getting on to you. But I want you to understand something. Victory is yours. I know you've got problems. We've all got difficulties. We've all got problems. I understand that. But victory is promised. Are you listening to God? Are you seeing God? Or are you focused on your problem? Victory is yours. Who will you hear? Who will you see? Who will you follow? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it's your choice. Nobody can make it for you. Nobody can force you. But if you will choose Jesus. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you victory. But it's your choice. You come while we sing.